ധ്യായാമോദവളാവകുണ്ടനവതീം തേജോമയീം നൈഷ്ടികീം സ്നിഗ്ധാപാംഗവിലോകിനീം ഭഗവതീം മന്ദസ്മിതശ്രീമുഖീം വാത്സല്യാമൃതവർഷിണീം സുമധുര സങ്കീർത്തനാലാപിനീം ശ്യാമാംഗീമത്സിക്തസൂക്തിം അമൃതാനന്ദാത്മികാമീശ്വരീം. In the 8th shloka, Shankara spoke about the place that Devi is living. So he said, Sudha Sindhur Madhye. So Devi is living in an island, Manidvipam, filled with jewels, which is in the ocean of immortality. And Ananda, Chidananda Lahrim. So for people who are able to worship you, Tvam, Bhajantim Tvam Danyaha Katechana Chidananda Lahrim. Blessed are those people who worship you, because there are very few people who really worship you. So after speaking about the place where Devi stays, Shankara now in this particular shloka, in the 9th shloka, speaks about the various chakras in our body and as to how we realize the Devi who is present in each one of us, present as the essence of all beings, present as the essence in all beings. So that is what Shankara is explaining in the 9th shloka, which we will be discussing today. So in short, the Shakta system or the Tantra system, both are almost same. So the Tantra system speaks about various chakras, various positions in our body. The yoga shastram, or people who follow the yoga system as well, in a way speak about these particular chakras. Though Patanjali has spoken about these chakras, but yet Patanjali speaks about various points, various concentrated points in the body, upon which when a person does samadhi, what he calls as samyama. Samyama means doing dhyana, dharana, dhyana and samadhi in a particular position, then a person will get very certain siddhis. So he says that Murdha Jyotishi Siddha Darshanam. So there is a Murdha Jyotishi. Murdha means like the, we say in Tamil, we say Uchchantala in Chuluva. So it is the head portion. When parents do tell that, okay, when a person is having bath, after a person has bath, head bath, then you have to towel properly. So they will say, okay, do it on the top portion, on the middle portion of your head, upper portion of your head. So that is a place called Murdha. So there is a chakram there. So when we concentrate on that particular chakram, then Siddha Darshanam, we'll get the Siddhi, we'll get the Vaibhavam, or we'll get the miraculous power of seeing various Siddhas. So various Siddhas, various Siddha Purushas like Agastya and others, we will be able to see when we do samyama, when we do samadhi in that particular position. So kantakupe shutpipasa nivrittihi. Kantakupam, kantakup, it's a position that is there in the throat. I'm not very comfortable with biological terms, but the cavity, the throat cavity, the inside innermost portion where of the throat, the navel cavity, throat, the throat tube through which like we consume water, food, etc. The bottommost portion in the throat, that is called kantakoop. Kantam means like a well. So it is a place like a well where there is a particular chakra there. So in that particular chakra, it's Shakta system called almost a similar thing as Vishuddhi chakra. Not Vishuddhi, I think. Yeah, Vishuddhi chakra. But Patanjali says that when a person does samyama in that particular place, particular chakra called as kantaku, shuttipasa nivrittihi. What will happen? He'll get rid of thirst and hunger. So hunger and thirst can be overcome. The siddhi of not getting hungry or not getting thirsty can happen when a person does samyama in that particular place, in that particular position. So this, though many of us wouldn't have practiced or experienced it, yet for some people it is a matter of experience. For example, with people with amma, they eat very less because they are always busy with some or the other activity. So they eat very less, yet they don't feel that much hunger. So certain people in the world, certain eccentric people, don't feel hungry often. They don't feel thirsty often. That is because of this gaining this particular siddhi. So Patanjali does speak about different chakras, places in the body. But Shakta system, the Tantra system, speaks about Shat Chakram. It is called Adharam. Shat Adharam. Shat Adharam is what in the Shakta system it is known as, or Shat Chakram or Shat Adharam. So each of these chakram has a particular panchabhuta associated with it. And each of these chakram has a particular quality associated with it. And we can consider that. I may be talking out of not mixing things in the proper way, but just to go back a little bit, in the Shakta system there is a power called Kundalini Shakti. Kundalini is also called the serpent. It is a snake kind of power, and it is coiled. For normal people it is coiled, it is inactive. So the Kundalini Shakti is at the bottommost portion of the spine. So for males, it would be their private part where the Kundalini Shakti is coiled. So the Kundalini Shakti remains coiled. It's a coiled serpent. And that Kundalini Shakti, when it is coiled like that, such a person is an ajnani. Such a person is not aware of Devi. Such a person doesn't have bhakti. Once a person gains bhakti, once a person is in the spiritual path, this Kundalini Shakti is sleeping serpent wakes up, and when it wakes up, it becomes active. So it passes through the spinal cord till the head. Up to the head it comes up. So from the flow of Kundalini Shakti from the bottom of the spine or the private part of a person to the top of the head, that sums up the spiritual path from ajnanam, avastha of ajnanam, to realization or jivan mukti or merging, sayujya mukti, merging into devi. So while it passes from the bottom of the spinal cord to the top of the head, it passes through few chakras. So there are Shat chakras, six chakras which it passes through, which it crosses over. Each of the chakra has a particular power associated with it as well. We'll see that while we learn the shloka. So that is in short. So Kundalini Shakti, when it moves from the bottom of the spinal cord till the head, that sums up the spiritual path of a seeker. And the head portion is the place where Amritam is there. That is the place of Devi. So once the Kundalini Shakti is aroused and the sleeping serpent gets a wake up call, and then it wakes up, it slowly moves up and reaches the top of the head, then it reaches Amritam as a person realizes Devi. So this particular shloka, Shankara explains about this Shat Chakram. The Shat Chakram that the Kundalini Shakti passes through, which has deep significance for the Shakta, for the Tantra followers. Each of these, when it is in a particular Adharam, it has certain powers, a person will get in certain powers, certain aspects, etc. But the essence is that the Kundalini Shakti can be considered similar to ourself, the Jivatma. So Jivatma, from the bottom of the spine, he goes up. So it slowly progresses. The Jivatma, when it is sleeping, when it's the Kundalini Shakti which is sleeping, then the Jivatma is in a state of Ajnanam. The Jivatma is associated with the body, with the mind, with various objects around. So it's an Ajnana Avastha. The Jivatma doesn't know his own nature. The Jivatma doesn't know Devi. Jivatma doesn't know that there is something called Amritam. The Jivatma is like the pig in the Uddhava story, which who thinks that filth is Swargam, filth is Amritam. So the Jivatma thinks the sensual pleasure that he experiences is Amritam. But once the Jivatma comes to know about Devi, about Devi's Mahima, through a Jnani or through another instrument of Devi, then the Jivatma gains more and more devotion. When he gains more and more devotion, then that bhakti wakes up the Kundalini Shakti. The Jiva gets awakened. The Jiva starts the real process of seeking out Devi, his own essence of the ultimate reality of Devi, Nirguna Parabrahman. The Jiva knows that he is in a state of Maranam, he is in a state of continuous change, he is in a state of sorrow, he is in a state of suffering. Thereby, he slowly moves towards Amritam. And when the Kundalini Shakti reaches the top of the head, which symbolizes Amritam, then the Jiva merges into Amritam. So there is a funny story here, maybe a little bit out of context, but there is a funny story, not story, incident in the life of Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. Once Vivekananda and other disciples of Sri Ramakrishna were sitting along with Sri Ramakrishna. So the topic came up that about Amritam, about enjoying Amritam. So Vivekananda or Natendra was more of an intellectual person, reasoning. He himself came to Sri Ramakrishna because he was not satisfied about people's answer about God or perception of God. So he was more of an intellectual person. So Sri Ramakrishna said, "Oh, okay, let's now discuss about Amritam." So he said, "Oh Narendra, tell me, you are a fly. You are a fly and you find a bowl of Amritam. The bowl contains Amritam, a water of Amritam. And you are a fly. So how will you drink it? How will you experience that Amritam?" Then Vivekananda said, "Oh, that is simple. I'll just go sit on the side of the bowl and then slowly drink it. Drink Amritam with my tongue." Sri Ramakrishna laughed at. So Vivekananda was thinking, "Oh, why is Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa laughing? That is the right thing to do." Then Sri Ramakrishna smiled and said, The bowl contains Amritam. It is not something which will lead to your maranam. So why do you need to sit on the side of the bowl and drink the Amritam? Because you think that you are afraid of falling into the bowl. But if you fall in, then it is Amritam. So you will become immortal. So you should just fall into it. So this just comes to my mind. So Amritam, when Jiva, the mosquito of Jiva, falls into the bowl of Amritam, then he becomes immortal. So the Kundalini Shakti, when it raises the top of the head, which denotes Amritam, it falls into Amritam, the Jiva falls into the ocean of Amritam, into the Sudha Sindhu. When he falls into the Sudha Sindhu, he becomes immortal. He merges into Devi, that is called Sayujya Mukti. Maybe we'll discuss some other time about the different types of Mukti. There are different types of Mukti. Mukti, various systems accept different types of Mukti. Though Sayujyam, or merging into Ishvara, merging into Brahman, is what Vedanta accepts and the Shakta system as well accept. So, with this thing, we'll just see what are the Shat Chakras. and the top of the head, which is the last one, which is the seventh one, we can say the ultimate one. So the Shat Chakra, that Vedanta, or like not Vedanta, sorry, that Shakta system accepts is, first is Mooladharam. Mooladharam is on the, is the private portion. It's, we can consider that it's the bottom of the spine where the Kundalini Shakti, the serpent snake, is, the snake or serpent is lying, is sleeping, coiled. So that the bottom of the spine is the private part of a person. So it is called Moola Adharam. That is the first one. Then the next is, we can say, the stomach portion, the stomach where we have a hole there. So that, that portion, that is called Manipurakam. So that is Manipurakam. That is the third one. I just wanted to show the position of the second one. So the position where we have our, the stomach, the bell or what you call the hole or whatever is there in the stomach, that is Manipurakam. And between Manipurakam and Mooladharam, there is a position called Swadhisthanam. So the first is Mooladharam, second is Swadhisthanam, third is Manipurakam or the stomach portion, and the fourth is Hridayam. Hridayam is the heart portion. We know what the heart, where the heart is. And then the fifth is Vishuddhi. Vishuddhi Chakram. Vishuddhi Chakram is the throat portion. And then the sixth is Ajna Chakram, is the space between the eyebrows. So in short, the six chakras are starting from the bottom of the spine, which is the Mooladharam, the private portion. Then there is Swadhisthanam, second, and the third is Manipurakam, which is the stomach portion. Then Hridayam, which is the fourth one, the heart. And then the throat portion, which is Vishuddhi Chakram. And the sixth one is the Ajna Chakram, or the space between the eyebrows, the space between eyebrows, where we generally consider Shiva as having the third eye there. So everybody has that Ajna Chakram there. And after this one, the Kundalini Shakti passes from, it starts from Mooladharam, Swadhisthanam, Manipurakam, Hridayam, Vishuddhi, Ajna, and then it goes higher and merges in the top portion, top of the head, which is called Sahasraram. It's called Sahasraram because it is considered that there Devi is situated in a 100-petal flower. 100-petal rose, lotus flower or any other flower. So it's called Sahasraram. It's a flower which has 100 petals, and that denotes Amritam, state of Amritam where Devi is sitting. So the Kundalini Shakti goes from Mooladharam till Sahasraram. When it reaches Sahasraram, when it merges into Sahasraram, the Jiva realizes his own nature of Devi or Brahman. So Jivo Brahmaiva Naparaha. The Jiva realizes Brahman, becomes immortal, Amritam, he attains Amritam, and that is called Jivan Mukti. So let's see as to what signifies each of this Adharam, each of this Chakra, Mooladharam, Swadhisthanam, Manipurakam, Hridayam, Vishuddhi and Ajna Chakram, as well as Sahasraram. So Shankara explains it in this shloka, each of these, and the Tattvam, the Panchabhuta behind each one of these, each one of these chakras. So this particular shloka is set in the famous Kannada Ragam. Kannada Ragam is a Janya Ragam of Karahara Priya, 22nd Melakatha Ragam, if I am not wrong. So Kannada Ragam is very popular ragam. Alai Payute Kanna, that is the most popular song that is sung, that is famous in Carnatic circles. So there are various other songs as well, famous songs in Kannada. It's a very beautiful, but it has a tint of sorrow in it. Though Kannada can be used both for sad, denoting or symbolizing sad state, as well as happy states as well. There are very various songs of Amma which denote not a sad state but a happy state as well. वागदीश्वरि शारदे वरदायिनी चतुर्वेदरूपिणी वाङ्मयी अमृतेश्वरी. So this is a song, it's not in Kannada exactly, but it's something called Kadarbari Kannada. But yet Kannada Raga is, it's also like, it can denote or symbolize both sad state as well as happy state. So let's see how the shloka and the tune goes. मही मूलाधारे कमपि मणिपुरे हुत वह स्थितं स्वादिष्टाने हृदि मरुतमाकाशमुपरि मनोऽपि भ्रूमध्ये सकलमपि बित्वा कुलपतो सहस्रारे पद्मे सहरहसि पत्या विहरसे. सो दिस इफ यू remember, if you have got the Shadadharam, the names of the Shadadharam that I mentioned, Chat Chakram or Shadadharam, then you will know that each of them comes here. So Mooladhare, Manipure, Swadhisthane, Marutam is also another word for the Hridayam. Hridaya Chakram is also called Marutam. And Vishuddhi Chakram doesn't come there, the name doesn't come. Bhrumadhye, and then finally Sahasrari. So the Devi is Sahasrari Padme in the top, like, so we'll just see what this shloka leads to finally. So the Sahasrara Chakram, so Sahasrari Padme in the lotus, in that particular lotus flower which has 100 petals, saha patya, patya saha, patya means husband, so saha with husband, rahasi, so in secret, viharase place. So devi is situated in the sahasraram, the Sahasrare Padme, in that lotus which is on at the top of our head, which is called Sahasraram, the state of the Chakram of Sahasraram, which is a lotus leaf which has 100 petals, and she is playing there, she is situated there along with her husband. So Shiva and Shakti are there. So as per Shakta system as well as Tantra system, Lalita Sahasranama, and the second last Nama that comes is Shiva Shakti Aike Rupini Namaha. Shiva Shakti Aike Rupini. That, O Devi, you are of that form of merging of Shiva and Shakti. So at the top in the Sahasraram, Shiva and Shakti are situated. Shiva and Shakti denote both the sentient as well as that power which creates the entire world. So that is the state of Brahman, Nirguna Parabrahman. So if a person gets into that state of immortality, that state of Sahasraram, where Devi and Shiva, her husband, are situated, Shiva Shakti is there, then a person will become liberated. He will realize. So that is called realization or liberation or Jivan Mukti. So how does a person reach that particular state, reach Sahasraram? So Kulapatam, I'm not very sure, I have learned it Kulapatam. So Kulapatam means, you know, passing through the way of the Sushumna Nadi. The Sushumna, or the what we call as spinal cord, has a in Shakta system as well as in Sanskrit, it is called Sushumna Nadi, that Nadi of Sushumna, which stretches from the bottom, from to the top of the head. So that tip at the top of the head, that is where Sahasraram is there. So the Kundalini Shakti goes Kulapatam, it goes through the path of Sushumna Nadi or the spinal cord. And how does it go? Mooladhare, so at the bottom, Mooladharam Mahim. Mahim means Prithvi. So the Prithvi Tattvam is there in Mooladharam. So that is the first starting place. And then Kamapi Manipure, Manipure in the stomach portion there. Kamapi, Kamapi means Jalam. Jalam is the Tattvam there. Water is the Tattvam in Manipuram. And Hutavaham, Hutavaham Swadhisthane Stitam. Swadhisthane Stitam is present in Swadhisthanam, the place between Manipuram and Mooladharam, the intermediate place there. Hutavaham, Hutavaham means Agni. So the Agni Tattvam is present there. And then Hridi, in Hridi or Hridayam. Marudam, Marudam, Marudam means air or Vayu. So the Vayu Tattvam is present in Hridayam. And Akasham Upari, Upari above, above Hridi, about the Hridayam, Hridaya Chakram, Akasham is there. So Akasham, that Chakram where Akasham is there is Vishuddhi Chakram in the vocal cord or the throat portion. And Manu Opi Brumadhyam, Manaha Api Brumadhyam, in the Brumadhyam, in the place between eyebrows, which is called Ajna Chakram, there the Tattvam is Manas. And Sakalam Api Bitva, crossing or beyond all these, beyond the Shat Chakram. And after, at the end of the Kulapatam, at the end of the Sushumna Nadi, at the end of the spinal cord, Sahasraram is there, where Devi, along with her consort, along with her husband, is playing, is enjoying bliss. So this means like we can, it's also a symbolic way of explaining or putting for the path of a seeker. So the seeker goes from Ajnanam and the Kundalini Shakti rises from Mooladharam, which has Prithvi, then rises higher to Mani Swadhisthanam, which has Agni, and then Manipuram, which has water, still higher Hridayam, which is Vayu, and then Akasham in Vishuddhi, and then Manaha in Brumadhyam. So if we analyze, the process of creation is starting from Sahasraram till Mooladharam. So starting from Sahasraram, what happens? First comes the Antakarnam, the mind or the intellect, that is the cause of all problems. That is where Dvaitam, that is where Ajnanam starts. So once Ajnanam is there, the mind comes into picture. And in the mind or the intellect, we know that the consciousness or Devi gets reflected, that is called Jiva. And the Jiva starts from the mind. In the mind, Jiva causes all, mind here means not just mind, but the fourth parts of Antakarnam, which is Mano, Buddhi, Ahankaram and Chittam. So from there, Ajnanam starts. Ajnanam gets converted into Kamam, into desire. And with that desire, actions start. Once actions start, the Jiva cannot experience things unless there are objects. So for objects to exist, there should be the Panchabhutam. The Panchabhutam or the entities in the world are made up of the Panchamahabhutam. Panchamahabhutam. Panchamahabhutam is Prithvi, Jalam, Agni, Vayu and Akasham. So any object in the world that we take up, we'll find these five entities. They undergo a process called Panchikaranam, which is out of scope while dealing with Sauntiri Lahiri. Maybe in Aparokshanubhuti we can deal that. It's a process of Panchikaranam, which means that any entity in the world, any gross entity, has all these Panchabhutas in certain ratios. So if the Jiva has to experience all those things, then not just the mind. Mind and Jiva creation is not enough. There has to be objects created. So for the objects to create, the Panchamahabhutam, each of the separate elements, five elements, has to be created. That starts from first Akasham. So that is Vishuddhi Chakram Akasham. And then next from Akasham, Vayu comes, that is Hridayam. from Vayu, Agni comes, that is Swadhisthanam, and then a little bit higher there is a Manipuram where Jalam starts, and from Jalam comes Prithivi, which is the bottom. When Prithivi has come, then the process is complete, that means Jiva experiences things. So if a person is in the Prithivi level, then he is experiencing all the things. So he has to rise from Prithivi. He has to go the opposite of creation to negate each and every entity and thereby reach Sahasraram. So first, from Prithvi level, he has to go to Jalam, then a little bit, then Agni, Vayu, Akasham, and finally at the Mano level. So people who are at the Mano level are intellectual people who do analysis, who are doing more of analytical research. They apply Vivekam, they apply Jnanam, they enter into Jnanam, therefore getting realized. So when a person who is more intellectual, a person who does more of Jnanam, he is at the Ajna Chakram level. And a person who is at the Vishuddhi Chakram level, that Vishuddhi denotes Akasham. So when Akasham is clear, that means voice will be sweet. So people, great singers who aren't realized, of course Jnanis or Jivan Muktas are people who are realized, who have gone through this Vishuddhi Chakram, all those things. So for them, they have beautiful voice. So Vivekananda says that, always says that, a person who is more in the spiritual path will have a beautiful voice. He'll sing very well. So the various great singers, like if we consider Hariharan or Yeshudas and all, for them, the Kundalini Shakti is stuck up at the Vishuddhi Chakra level. Therefore, they have siddhis of singing very well. But they haven't utilized it to move higher into Ajna Chakram and into Sahasraram. So similarly, we can say about Hridayam. Hridayam is Vayu. Vayu means people who can, who can read minds or any other things like that. So each one has its own effect. But the final thing is when a seeker gets into Ajna Chakram and then he goes further. He goes further to realize the Sahasraram, merge into Sahasraram, merge into Devi. So though this means that the Kundalini Shakti has to be aroused in order for a person to realize, Vedanta doesn't really give too much emphasis on arousing, whatever is the right word, Kundalini Shakti, waking up Kundalini Shakti, because if we forcefully do it, then it can lead to more trouble. So it is said that a person once tried to arouse Kundalini Shakti by doing various pranayamam. Kundalini Shakti got aroused in a day. The very next day he went and married. So he got into kamam, lot of kamam. So that would be the case. For a Vedantin, for a person in Vedanta, if he follows the Jnana Margam, if he follows the Bhakti Margam, then automatically the Kundalini Shakti will be aroused. For a person who is in Jnanam, who has Jnanam, that Devi alone is present here, and who is devoted to Devi, Kundalini Shakti will be automatically aroused. Even like other things, like building up, building one's own body, going to the gym and building, that is gradual building. But if a person takes steroids in order to gain muscles in a day, that is dangerous. We all know how dangerous it is. Similar is the case with Kundalini Shakti. For a Bhakta, Shankara just says that this is the process that happens as per the Shakta system. This doesn't mean that a person has to forcefully do it. Forcefully doing it is dangerous. A person has to gradually do it. When a person is a real Bhakta, then this happens gradually. Automatically it happens. But finally, realization is when a seeker gets into Sahasraram. Sahasraram is the most important thing, where a person gets Amritam or Anandam, that is, or Jivan Mukti. We will see the next shloka in the next day. Hari.